This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Cities around the country are facing pressure to reform their policing and take a hard look at systemic racism. Minneapolis announced the intent to defund portions of their police department, and other cities have ended relationships between school systems and the police. In North Carolina, some cities are also moving forward with reform. But what about statewide policies and legislation? Joining us now to talk about how the North Carolina General Assembly is reacting to the civil unrest is Jeff Tiberi. He's WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Anita.
So there haven't been any protests at the General Assembly itself against police brutality in this moment, but how have lawmakers reacted to the protests that have been happening around the state so far?
So it's a great question. And I think that we have certainly seen some lawmakers and some candidates out marching, calling for change, calling for action. Others have certainly been silent. They haven't said anything. Perhaps starting at the top, one of the most noteworthy things that came out in recent weeks was the Speaker of the North Carolina House, a Republican, announced that he is convening a task force to look at issues of racial inequity and racial justice. Now, it's important to note that task force is not going to convene virtually or physically until after this short legislative session. But there is a lot going on, and that is a step forward. Some people have said, how legitimate is it, but how sharp are the teeth on that, and what can really come of that? Is it functional? Is it significant, or is it just going to be, to an extent, window dressing? Now, we'll obviously wait and see. I think it's perhaps somewhere in between. So that's one of the bigger things symbolically that's happening. But then from a more practical and functional policy standpoint, just yesterday, the North Carolina House passed a bill called the Second Chance Act, and they voted it through 119-0. Which, you have 55 Democrats and 65 Republicans in the chamber. So it was a unanimous vote. And this is a bill that aims to allow people with nonviolent convictions or arrests that have been thrown out to have their records expunged. And this is something that actually moved through the Senate, the North Carolina Senate, more than a year ago. And it's, as one Democratic lawmaker put it to me yesterday, has languished in the House for more than a year. But yesterday it was resurrected, so to speak. It moved forward and it now goes to the governor. And I would expect him certainly to sign it relatively soon. And I would be surprised if he signed it alone. I think that we may have some sort of press conference or event or something to highlight the signing of this bill. I don't know that for a fact. That's my hunch.
Well, that's interesting, Jeff, because you mentioned that it had kind of died more or less or really languished in the House last year. So what changed the minds of Republicans who were previously opposed? What do they say about why they have now signed on?
I think, based on the conversations I've had, based on what you witness on Twitter and you hear from various conversations, I mean, the Floyd killing was, I think it moved a lot of people. It's undeniable, right? It was undeniable how egregious that act was. And the response to that has been so widespread, obviously around the world and around the country, but also our state. And it's not just Raleigh and Charlotte where we've seen these protests. It's been Hickory. It's been some smaller communities. It's been Apex. And I think that by and large, people are understanding that changes are at the absolute very least worthy of conversation and further deliberation at this point. Specific to this bill, my understanding is that the leaders of the Democratic caucus in the North Carolina House went to the leaders, the Republican leaders who ultimately control the North Carolina House, and said, hey, we would like the Second Chance Act, which we've had on our side in this chamber for more than a year. Again, we'd like for it to receive a committee hearing. We'd like to vote on this. And Republican leadership acquiesced. They gave it a hearing and it was voted through.
So you're saying, I mean, there is an acknowledgement and a real push to look at this entire system, the entire criminal justice system, beyond policing. And that's part of what the Second Chance Act was trying to do. I want to play a clip now from Robert Reeves, who's the deputy leader of the North Carolina Democratic Caucus, who you spoke with. He represents Chatham County. Let's take a listen.
Judges are the very last line that a criminal defendant is going to face. There's so many decisions made up until that point. The first decision is made by that officer on the ground, whether or not that officer is going to arrest or not arrest. There's not some robotic chip in that person who says, I see person A doing this, therefore I must arrest and charge with this crime. There's discretion right there. Prosecutor's offices. I mean, you can go around the state, you'll see prosecutor's offices that don't even have African-Americans answering the phone, much less having African-American prosecutors, African-American investigators. Those things are important.
So that's North Carolina Democratic Caucus Deputy Leader Robert Reeves in an interview with Jeff Tabiri. And there are a couple of things in there that I want to talk to you about, mm-hmm. Jeff. But maybe first of all, we can talk about, in addition to the Second Chance Act, letting people expunge their criminal records, are there any other things underway that we would think of as reform for the criminal justice system?
There is. The bill that, again, advanced through the Senate about a year ago, I believe it was a unanimous vote when it moved a year ago. It's called the First Step Act. It's a bill that is going to give judges greater discretion on sentencing for nonviolent crimes, nonviolent drug crimes, to be specific. And it is going to give judges in the state flexibility, a workaround to not have to sentence individuals to mandatory minimums. And that is a bill, similarly to the one we were just talking about, the Second Chance Act, that goes, it went from the Senate to the House not a year ago, it went last October. And that's now before the House. And the indication is that the House is going to have a hearing on that in the coming days, within the next week. And the signal here is that they're going to also approve this bill, and they're going to send that on to the governor. So to the point that Representative Reeves, Democrat from Chatham County, was talking about, that gives judges a greater level of flexibility. And when we had our conversation yesterday, he also was just highlighting that while there are more black and brown judges in the state relative to when he started his law career, the level of ethnic diversity across the criminal justice system is still paltry. And there needs to be, in his words, more diversity in prosecutors' offices in urban and rural settings. And also, as we think about sheriff's departments and police departments, and that's all part of the equation. That's all part of improving some of the practices and some of the statistics that we're getting to know all too well.
And diversity in the legislature still paltry too. We can talk more about that at a later point, but I want to quickly turn now to talking about the pandemic. So reports lately are not really looking great. COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths are still on the rise in North Carolina. We have one of the highest percentages of positive tests in the country. Yet there is increasing movement to continue with reopening. There's a lot of pressure to reopen, especially gyms and bars. So there is a bill that is now on the governor's desk that is asking him once again to consider reopening gyms and changing the regulations around bars. Tell me about that bill.
Yeah, it's interesting. And a little bit of the context is that listeners may remember within recent weeks, the legislature sent the governor a bill that would have expanded the ability for drinking establishments, for bars, to reopen so long as they were adhering to certain safety precautions and implementing more outside seating. And they're positioning this, they were and are positioning this as an economically sound move, something that is safe when done with proper precautions. They say, you know, they've also given the governor an out, and the ability to reclose these businesses if it gets bad enough and he needs to do that. The governor vetoed that first bill, and the second bill that the state lawmakers have sent to him here just within the last couple of days has bars as well as gyms rolled in together. And the governor, the indication is that he's likely to veto this bill again. Some of this is certainly political. They're trying to hold the governor accountable. The Republicans and even some Democrats voted for this bill in the North Carolina Senate, and they want the governor to be a little bit more transparent with consistency. And their contention is if the state is reopening in a number of other places, as we think about salons and bowling alleys and restaurants to an extent, that these places should be able to stretch their legs, open up a little bit as well.
Is it likely that that veto would be overridden if the governor were to veto this bill?
Right. So my read on this right now is that if the governor or when the governor vetoes it, it's going to be a heavy lift to have this to have the House vote to override it, because yesterday's vote was very much along party lines. That's not to say it couldn't happen or it won't happen, but you know, the governor will have 10 days to decide whether to sign or veto, or in North Carolina, the governor could, in theory, let something become law without his signature. So we shall see.
Okay, stay tuned whether you can get back to the gym. I only have 30 seconds left, but I want you to very briefly update me on the latest about the Republican National Convention. There was another decision and some guidelines that came through last night.
That's right. So it appears as though there's very little, if no chance at this point, that President Donald Trump and other keynote speeches will be taking place in Charlotte this August. Right now, the front runner to kind of replace some of the bigger headline events of the RNC, Republican National Convention, is Jacksonville, Florida. But because of contracts that were signed between the RNC and the city of Charlotte, it appears that some events, some of the RNC happenings will take place in Charlotte, but certainly smaller crowds and smaller settings.
Jeff Tiberi is WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Jeff, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Stay with us on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.